This is a replay of the Wednesday night, April 30th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine, providing that it is otherwise unimportant and apolitical. Other than that, anything goes. That's right. So last night we were talking a bit about the infestation of mosquitoes and the like this year, a peak year for creepy crawlies. But I had mentioned, well, at least it isn't the cicadas. Ha ha, spoke too fast. Actually, it isn't the cicadas in Chicago. And last year, as you'll remember, there was the double whammy of cicadas with the 13-year brood 19 overlapping the 17-year brood 13, if you're keeping track of that. But this year, Chicago will, for the most part, be spared. But watch out, Connecticut, because we have brood 14. Brood 14 has been around since 1634. And what I didn't realize, and I knew that cicadas had cycles, either a 17-year cycle or a 13-year cycle, depending on which species it was. I didn't realize there were over 3,500 of them. All right, so basically every year is cicada year, depending on where you are, obviously. And most of us are annoyed only by the sound that the males make when mating. Heard forever. That's right, better than some AM signals, I'll tell you what. But, not WGN, of course. But the reality is that they don't bite, and they don't do anything else that would otherwise be objectionable to you. But boy, do they impede your quietness, as it were. That's right. You're not going to get much quiet around them. And so people notice them. So this year we have, as I mentioned, Brood 14. And the last time Brood 14 showed its faces was summer of 2008. Yeah, well, guy, you hope it's not a harbinger of that. We remember the financial things that were just coming, right? But apparently there is an app for this. Yeah, right. If your phone doesn't have enough apps, let me suggest yet another one. That's the citizen science app, Cicada Safari. And they show that Brood 14, which is a 17-year cycle, is surfacing in the United States. As ground temperatures warm across the north, north of the equator, that is, millions or more expected to follow. Like I say, cicadas don't bite you or anything like that. Their weapon is that there are so many of them, just in numbers alone, they oversaturate whatever it is that would otherwise be attacking them. So now, the deal on Brood 14, which, like I say, was first named in 1634, with over 3,500 species, most of them remain unnamed as far as, yeah. And often they're mistaken for locusts, all the different broods. And that dates back to the early English settlers who likened the mass emergences to biblical plagues, right? So, like I say, Brood 14 itself first documented in the States in 1634. It's not a plague. It's just cicadas. And the deal is that, as I say, they're not, for the most part, here. They're unique to the eastern United States and This is interesting. I don't think scientists know why. Northeastern India and Fiji. All right, so they appear there, but the leading cicada experts at the University of Connecticut says they'll be here this year. Everybody's fascinated by them because you see nothing for 13 or 17 years, depending on cycle. And then all of a sudden, your house, your car, your belongings are covered in these insects. That's probably true. Of course, this is scientists. They say this is a marvelous phenomenon. That's actually not the adjective that you would probably choose to use. But being this is a family show, we won't share potentials. All right. So the deal is, though, that it is a fascinating life cycle. The way it works is they stay underground for 13 or 17 years and develop. At which point they emerge, they mate, they die. That's it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't know that it's fun to be a cicada. But then again, I don't know what's really going on underground. So they say cicadas are creatures of history, conjuring memories of past life chapters, what you were doing when the brood last emerged. All right, I admit it. I do not remember a brood of cicadas. I'm sure, obviously, that all these many years I've encountered them, but no. So they go through their life stages, like I say, underground, and then here they come to the surface, and literally, it's weeks. They molt, they mate, they die. And then the newly hatched offspring drop from trees, and by the way, it doesn't explain how it gets to the trees, but they do, and they burrow into the soil, beginning the cycle anew. And like I say, all we know is the noise, and that's the males only. It's their mating call. They call them timbals, sound-producing membranes on either side of their abdomens, creating a chorus, yes, that attracts the female cicada, and for the rest of us, sounds more like power tools. So that's the deal on cicadas. I erroneously told you yesterday that no, that was last year. Apparently, that is every year, depending on exactly where you are. All right. Yeah, I know. Like I told you, absolutely useless information. I've got more, but I prefer your calls. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-Raleigh. Shall we talk about what archaeologists have unearthed lately? Ah, the body of a 5,000-year-old woman in a former dump. Man, don't you just hate that? Yeah, you kind of hope that if you're going and you want some acclaim of some sort, A, you want to die on a slow news day so you'll actually make headlines. Maybe the way you die will be what makes headlines. But the other thing, of course, is you want some sort of pomp and circumstance. The funeral business has been around forever for that. You don't like to think you'll just be put in the dump. Well, here the archaeologists come and they find the 5,000-year-old remains belonging to a high society woman from an ancient Peruvian civilization. I love this, the way they determine what this is. Of course, you know, it's a guess, let's face it. But this tomb was found in, and I guess you call it a tomb, this dump was found in Espero, which was formerly the municipal dump. That's right, and the archaeologists say the way in which the woman's skin, hair, and nails were preserved indicate she was of high status in the ancient civilization. And they say this is an important burial because it has elements that correspond to the high status woman. Important burial? Well, obviously the dump came later, but what did they put her in? And who decided to put a dump on top of her? Well, she died when she was between 20 and 35 years old. Beyond that, researchers don't know when. They just know where, obviously. The remains, by the way, were found along with a mantle of blue and brown feathers, which are believed to come from an Amazonian bird. It would make sense, given the location. And the tomb was also surrounded by baskets with offering, vases, gourds, and a toucan's beak. Yeah, all right. So they've decided that that she had a lot going on at the time. But what they really have concluded, and again, your guess is as good as theirs, this shows that not only men had important associations in this civilization of over 5,000 years ago, but women did as well. So this, by the way, is known as the oldest center of civilization in the Americas, according to the UN's World Heritage website. So the city dates back to the late archaic period of the Central Andes. And the population at the time was about 3,000. And it's known as one of six sites where civilization separately originated in the ancient world. Fascinating, don't you think? And they're saying it was inhabited the same time as ancient Egyptians, the Chinese, or the Sumerians. Those were the three. But this was the sacred city of Karalsup reflecting the rise of civilization in the Americas. It was a fully developed socio-political state, so they say, remarkable for its complexity and its impact on developing settlements throughout the Soup Valley and beyond. It really makes you wonder, did they have indoor plumbing? Nothing of that in there, but 5,000 euros. So I'm sure the astrologers, maybe so, I don't know, the archaeologists will be looking at this for years to come and have more to share with us. So now, meanwhile, I'll tell you what, if you have a relative who died in a well-known tragedy, you might be onto something if you've got anything they've left behind. What am I talking about? The letter written by a Titanic passenger just sold at auction for six figures. That's right, at auction. The survivor was Archibald Gracie IV. And this actually is somebody who died from complications later, so didn't die at the time of the sinking. But in fact, a letter was written aboard the ill-fated Titanic and auctioned off in England for, well over $100,000 U.S. dollars, that's for sure. And so it was written on April 10th, 1912, 5 days before the ship sank. And apparently put it in an envelope and a letter, and the letter was postmarked in London 2 days later on April 12th. Yeah, so obviously the letter was not found with any of the Titanic remains. It was mailed to somebody who, of course, has now auctioned it off. The writer said, "It is a fine ship, but I still await my journey's end before I pass judgment." Well, that's not all that passed. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
Got a name for rain and wind and fire. The rain is Tess, the fire's Joe, and they call the wind Mariah. Mariah blows the stars around and sends the clouds a-flying. Mariah makes the mountains sound like folks were up there dying. Before I knew Mariah's name and heard her wail and whining, I had a girl and she had me, and the sun was always shining. But then one day
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Harv Presnell, and I've been doing my best to write down your requests, but apparently not doing good enough because I forgot who requested it. But we were talking about Harv Presnell last night, and he asked if we could play They Call the Wind Mariah. Happy to. That actually is Harv Presnell, but it's a 1965 version, and it was in 1969 that he did it in the Western Paint Your Wagon. And it's interesting because the critics loved him. In fact, you know, Clint Eastwood, Lee Marvin were in it, and the reviewers basically wrote that Harv Presnell stole both stars' thunder with a knockout version of the song. And so, but there you have it. So that was for somebody, and my apologies. Yeah, sometimes I forgot to write them down entirely. And like I said last night, I found a clump of them that I think was requested by Don and Schomburg, but we played one last night, but we'll play more. All right, so now, where were we? All right, the other things that are going on, of course, we're keeping tabs on the Karen Reed trial. Now, if you miss the preamble here, this is a retrial due to a hung jury, but the jury was hung on one charge, and they had acquitted her on the other two, and the defense tried to get all this thrown out, saying it's double jeopardy, but everybody, the Supreme Court wouldn't hear it, and everybody else said, no, she's on trial again. So now, if you're saying, yeah, but who is she and what'd she do? All right, so here was the deal. Prosecutors claim that Karen Reed hit her boyfriend, John O'Keefe, with her car and then left him to die. The defense argues that she was framed by a police cover-up and that O'Keefe was actually killed by someone else. Those are the cliff notes. There's more details, I'm sure, but that's enough for you to know for us to continue the discussion. So I think so. Today's activity in court, Karen Reed's lawyers began their cross of Jennifer McCabe. Now Jennifer McCabe is one of the people that Karen Reed's lawyers claim was in on the vast conspiracy. So that was the news this weekend, today, and that was the only news in the trial. Like I say, people in Massachusetts are paying rapt attention to this, and most people over the years have read various facts, and many of them have come to conclusions. So they're literally watching it like it's a sporting event, yeah, rooting for their side. So there's been a number of controversies, police misconduct and a lead investigator's vulgar text messages, and of course the mistrial and all of that. And of course, what the evidence shows, according to the prosecution, is we've got a broken taillight that say implicates Reed, and the defense says no. There's more going on here. So that's what I know to date. And if you have anything to add, by all means, 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. You know, sometimes the worst of luck is the best of luck, and there are all sorts of parables about that, as you probably know. But here is a guy who lost his debit card in Washington State, and he left it somewhere. And so he goes back to the place that he thinks he left it, and sure enough, it was Winco Foods, by the way, in Marysville, in case you're wondering. He goes back to Winco Foods, and they say, yeah, employees found your card. We kept it safe. Here it is. And the guy says, well, this must be my lucky day. Maybe I should play the lotto. And so he buys a hit five ticket. He wins $480,000. Not bad. All right, so yes, so when you're sitting there saying this is the worst luck of all, maybe not. We'll pick it up right there after the news right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Magic Sam. So it's Linda in Richardson Park who said, I want to hear Sweet Home Chicago. I said, you want the original Robert Johnson? And she said, I want whatever they played in the Blues Brothers movie. Well, that is what they played in the Blues Brothers movie. It came from a 1968 album on Delmark West Side Soul. But in case you were wondering what Sweet Home Chicago sounded like in the original form, well, that was Robert Johnson. And we'll get you a little of that as well.
Baby, don't you want to go? sweet home, Chicago.
All right, so that's how it sounded way back when, but Magic Sam in 1968 sounded just like you heard it. So, all right, that's for Linda. She had another request as well that we will get to. You know, I was mentioning earlier with regard to this guy who lost his debit card, then goes back and decides, well, it's my lucky day. I'll buy a lottery ticket and wins $408,000. Life is like that. Life turns on a dime. And, you know, always keep that in mind because, you know, the past is not coming back and the future will never be here. All you've got is now, you know, as they say, that's why they call it the present. Yes, because it is a present. But regardless, it's all you got. And so living in the now, I think, is so important. But while I was reading about this guy in Washington State and his debit card, it reminded me of a Taoist parable. I've always loved this story. In fact, I actually put it in my book, which is free to read, by the way. You can go to worldradiohistory.com and read it to your heart's content because too many people were selling secondhand copies for outrageous amounts of money, so I put it up there for free. All right, what am I doing here when everything I want is somewhere else, is the title, which says it all. But as far as the parable, the story was a farmer was laboring in the fields and his horse ran away. It was his only horse. Now, his neighbors said, "How terrible." And the farmer replies, "We'll see." Now the next day, the horse returns with three wild stallions in tow. And the neighbors marvel, "How wonderful!" And the farmer says, "We'll see." Now the day after that, his son tried to ride one of the wild horses, and he fell off and he broke his legs. "How awful!" said the neighbors, and the farmer once again says, "We'll see." A day later, the military comes to town, rounds up all the draft-age men, but they skip the farmer's son because of his broken leg, and his neighbors claimed, "How lucky!" And the farmer says, "We'll see." And that's it. And it's absolutely the truth. So if you're facing something right now that seems almost unsurmountable, realize that life does turn on a dime. And, you know, I love it that psychics tell you they can see the future. None of them can. What those who are gifted, and I will give them credit for this, the gifted among us, what they can see is the probable future. If the future was a line extension from the past, a good psychic could tell you what that was. However, here on planet Terra Firma, right on Earth, we have free will, which just mucks up the whole theory right there, because your future may not be a line extension of your past. And of course, absolutely, you should do everything you can to, you know, improve your lot in life. I'm not saying sit on the couch and forget about it, but at the same time, recognize if you're starting to, you know, having that pity party, you're wallowing in pity, recognize that all is usually not as it seems. Yeah, or the psychics would be 100% right. And that's why very often when somebody will say, "Well, that psychic was wrong about that," again, all they can see is if they can see anything at all, assuming they're gifted, all they can see is a line extension of the past. And life is not necessarily like that. And in fact, you can probably look back on your life and think of countless examples where that was the case. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And I'm talking to myself again tonight. I can do this, obviously, but I'd prefer not to. I'd rather talk to you. So take pity on your host and call. Otherwise, I'll just continue to ramble on. Yes, starting with parables. Who knows where it'll wind up next? So let's see what I can talk about. Actually, one thing I can talk about that I love to talk about is the Sea Crane Company. Yeah, world's best radios. They really are in this day and age. You know, some people have said, "Well, you always say the Sea Crane radios have the best reception," but you know, I have this radio from back in the day that's even better. And you know, I'm sure that's true. Like my favorite of the little portables was that Zenith Royal series, the Royal 275 and 65 and 85 and all that. I thought they were just terrific. But long about, oh, here come the late 70s and the 80s, suddenly radio reception is an afterthought. And Bob Crane at the time was as disgusted as many of us was, and he thought, "I can do better." And boy, did he. He brought back the kind of reception that, other than the Sea Crane radios, we can only dream about. Not only do you get great FM clarity, but more to the point, you get a tremendous AM section. And, you know, AM isn't even an afterthought anymore in most radios. Yeah, if the developers spent a nickel on the AM tuner, that was probably more than they otherwise might. Literally, it was a throwaway. But in Bob Crane, all the radios that he has developed have one thing in common: they have terrific AM and FM reception. Period. That's the hallmark of all of them. But in addition to that, each of them have features that are unique to the particular model that are just terrific. And the CC SkyWave 2 is a wonderful example of that. It's a great travel radio. It'll fit in the palm of your hand. It's about 4 inches by 3 inches, you know, by an inch or so. So it's not a big radio. It is rugged. And I must admit, I certainly can attest to this because I am very hard on my toys, you know. I have the grace of a camel when it comes to things, and I can't destroy this radio, so that's a lot to be said. Normally I can, so it's rugged. It'll hold up to the whatever the average user is going to do to it, and when you're traveling, that helps. But in addition to AM and FM, you've got NOAA weather, of course, and the weather alert, but you also have shortwave and the VHF aviation band. If you're a flyer, want to know what the air traffic controllers are talking about? Want to know what the pilots are saying back? Well, if they're on VHF, and they probably are, you will hear it. And that is terrific as well. The new ones on the CC SkyWave 2 have a new shortwave antenna jack, so you can noticeably improve shortwave reception when you use it with an external antenna, which you know, you can buy if you want, but also you can make antennas, and in the Sea Crane catalog you can see just how to do that. So the speaker in it is really good for its size, but included are those CC earbuds, which, man, I'll tell you what, it is high-quality audio all the way around. You get a carrying case, you get a hand lantern, lanyard, and it's just a terrific little radio. Now, of course, it's got presets. Oh, does it ever. 400 memory presets. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating. There's 400 of them. And, of course, you got a clock, an alarm, and a sleep timer, and all those other things, too. Got a digital readout. You can input things directly, or you can tune if you want. So, check it out. It's the CC SkyWave 2. If you go to ccradio.com, you can read all about it. ccradio.com. Now, for some reason, you cannot go online. Well, they've got the best customer service. You can order by phone. They'll answer all your questions, and they'll send you a hard copy of the catalog in the mail free of charge if you ask for one. So that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. And that's the CC SkyWave 2. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Yeah, I admit, if you need instant shipping, Bi-Mart, Amazon, good choices. But before you do that, take a look at it. Yeah, go to ccradio.com. You look at the CC SkyWave 2, I think you'll be as impressed as I am. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. If you're saying you just played that, no, I played the Magic Sam version earlier, which the Blues Brothers dedicated their onstage performance to Magic Sam. But the Blues Brothers, yes, Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, did in fact sing that themselves in the movie, and that's the one Linda wanted to hear, apparently. So now she has. That's on the official soundtrack recording on Atlantic from 1980. So I think we have enough Sweet Home Chicago Chicago now to satisfy just about anybody. All right, so happy to do it. Yeah, the Magic Sam version is really nice, and I can see why the Blues Brothers in the movie dedicated it to Magic Sam, which the late great Magic Sam. I think it was Belushi's character that said that. All right, so that there you go. You've heard the original, you've heard the Magic Sam, now you've heard the Blues Brothers. All right, we'll just carry on from there, aiming to play your requests and more. And let's see. All right, oh, good. We actually have someone calling. What a novelty tonight. How about that? All right, well, it's Karen in Madison. So, Karen, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'll catch up on all the calls I've missed lately.
Uh-huh.
Keep you going till one.
Okay.
No, I won't do that. But I wanted to say, if I wait for the news for 10 minutes, I can find out a little more. But that Karen Reed trial,
yeah.
All they're talking about, I'm not even paying attention. It's just because I'm from Boston. You know, I'm from here, but I lived there, and
yeah,
all those big trials, so I'm I hear it. So they're just talking. Now there's people switching their mind, and it's just getting so disgusting because all they're talking, here's a dead man laying there, and they're just talking about her demeanor and how she's just being so cocky about everything, and you know, that's not the way you try to be. I don't know. It
sounds like a joke. Keep something in mind. Both of these sides are biased toward the conclusion they want, and they will say anything to get it. And so when you're hearing one side identify the other side in a given manner, that's for what they're trying to get across. It's not necessarily what actually happened. So
right,
that's the bottom line to this. Of course, yes, you're right. It has Boston and the surrounding areas just fascinated by this. But and part of it is because of the controversy, because of course the defense is claiming that Karen Reed is framed, that she did not do this. So what is at the heart of this is who did what. And in the process, both sides are going to make the other side look horrible. That's what they do.
Yep.
You know, that's what they're paid to do.
And I guess I can ask you one more thing then.
Yeah.
You pay a lawyer, buy a lawyer, because you're hoping you're going to get something out of it. And
well, no, you know, if you're on trial, let's face it, you want to have the best attorney you can find to defend you. And
right,
on the other hand, if you're the prosecutor, you're in an elect, you know, as far as the DA, you're elected. And so when it comes time for election, you better be able to show convictions and that you've, you know, all the things you're supposed to do for a community. So both sides have a lot riding on it, and they're both going at it with gusto. Now, the judge is the arbiter, and the judge is supposed to keep things on track so that it is, it is not an unfair trial. The problem with that is that in all these trials, it's the game of court. It's literally like Milton Bradley wrote the rules. So whether or not evidence is actually going to get in there is going to come down to the judge's discretion. And that's why so many things are appealed, of course. So,
right,
you know, what we're seeing is, typical courtroom justice that goes on every day in trials across America.
I guess when I hired a lawyer 12 years ago, when I came here, back here from Boston, I guess I should have known, unless you go into a courtroom, anybody can lie and lie and lie.
Of course.
You can hire a lawyer to dig and...
Yes.
And then I find out now that he lied and lied and lied, and people watch. And I guess I shouldn't be upset because I guess.
Well, you know,
you
I mean, it's in.
I mean, I'm,
right.
I'm
it's
a
in the
little off topic.
Right.
Here.
No, that's all right. It's in
my
the.
Own
right.
Opinion.
Here's the deal. It's in the past, so you shouldn't be upset now because you don't want to carry it forever. But, you know.
Should, I guess I want to.
Well, you can't. You absolutely
well,
can't. You have to let the burden down as
yeah.
far as that goes. But here is the situation when you are in a legal battle. Yes, you want the best representation you can have. And one of the things that will happen when there's a disagreement between parties is the other side is going to dig and dig and dig to get every possible thing that will make you look bad. So your side has to do the same exact thing. It's
you
the
know,
way,
well,
you know.
I didn't go into the courtroom, and I guess I should have.
Well, you know, but, okay, this is over. Do you have a roof over your head?
Yes, I do.
Okay, are you eating?
I will be happy because I don't want to, you know, something 12 years.
Right, don't carry
know,
it.
I'm living with it. It's
well,
all around me. Surrounding me,
don't
eating me up.
You know, don't let it eat you up. That's completely in your control. And as long as you are basically safe, and there's a roof over your head, and you're eating meals, and all is reasonably well, what you do is you say, well, that's the past. I'm going to make the future whatever I want it to be. And if there were other people involved, there is nothing that says you ever have to deal with them again. I don't care if they're blood or they're friends or whatever. You choose. You choose who's surrounding your life, and it's perfectly fine to say I'm not letting them in. There's no mandate that says there's any living person that has any right to your time. So control it and do what you want to do. But I'll tell you, every time you carry this burden, you're letting them win again and again and again. Don't do that.
I know.
Don't do it. Whatever it is, does not matter.
Getting better, but
we get older,
and so if your mind starts improving a little and your body falls apart. Can I just ask you something? You may not remember. Fran, something, it was upsetting, and she needed soft foods.
Oh, yes, right. This was.
Did you ever think of anything besides you said Jell-O and the rest?
Oh, no. We had a whole list. We had a whole list. But the good news is that Fran is back to solid eating. And I'm hoping she's calling tonight because what I really want to know is what's going on with that toe. And so hopefully we'll find out tonight about her toe. But in the
I missed the toe.
Oh,
part.
Well, you will.
I do have one thing I heard on something else. BeMyEyes.com.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You've heard of that?
Of course.
So I'm not saying anything new.
No, of course, BeMyEyes.com. Absolutely. Now, there's wonderful things about it, but also remember, these are volunteers, so you don't want them to be your eyes in anything that is critical that you keep safe and secret.
Right.
All right, but right. It's other than that, it's absolutely wonderful. But yeah, listen to Fran.
Okay.
But now your assignment is to do something good for yourself and think about the future, not the past.
I do. I'm just
all right.
I give up. I'd rather relax and.
Believe me, I know.
Now my what is that? Those little microwaves. I just want to take a hatch to my computer. I hate it.
I know.
I just hate it because I don't, I have language, you know, I'm all right, but, you know, I just have direction with problems. So,
yeah.
So to be thrown computers at you and just sit down and you figure it all out.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that, but I'm glad you called, Karen.
I try to be happy.
Yes.
I try to be happy.
That's the deal. All right,
there
Karen.
You go.
Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
So we'll find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio News right here on WGN Radio.
You are under my power. It is the power of love.
sure got the magic touch.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Marvelettes, 1967 on Tamla. And if you ever wondered in the opening who says, "You are under my power, it is the power of love," that's Melvin Franklin. Absolutely. Lead singer and bassist of The Temptations. As far as the Marvelettes, yeah, you knew nobody was in the group who would sound like that. It was Wanda Young on lead for that. All right, so I believe that was Donna and Schomburg, but there were four requests, and... I don't know who they were from, but I think it was her. I don't know. But I know Fran and Austin likes it, so she gets to hear it again. So, Fran, welcome back to WGN.
I do like that song.
Yeah.
Of course, I like anything by the Marvelettes.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Marvelettes.
They were so underrated. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So now, toe story. You went to the doctor?
God.
Oh,
yeah,
Jesus.
For all good it did me. I went... And I, you know, explained to the nurse, you know, before the doctor came in, you know, and I tried to show her where it was, mm-hmm. you know, where I feel the pain and all that. He comes in and he, you know, just starts, you know, he's hello, and he comes in and starts cutting my nails. And I said something about, you know, why am I still having pain in my toes? And he says, well, you don't have... ingrowns. I said, I'm not saying I have ingrowns. Okay, you say I don't have ingrowns. I'll take your word for it for now. But something is there, and it's, you know, it's not getting better. You're cutting my toenails, and you know, part of it was you said that, you know, my toenails are very thick, and sometimes they curl. You know,
right. The usual.
That kind of thing. You know, the usual. And then he tried to blame the shoes I wear because I also have pain in my feet.
Right.
And so I said, I'm also having pain in my feet. And then I told him, you know, because what's been really concerning is that I've got a lot of pain in my knee, which, and then it goes from my knee down to my foot. And it feels, the knee pain feels different. From the knee down, it feels almost like a cramp that won't go away no matter what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Even though when I touch it, it doesn't feel like it's tight or anything like that. But I can hardly walk.
Right.
And so, you know, he's still saying, well, you know, your toes look fine, you know, and the sort of thing. And I said, okay, you keep saying this, but I'm not, you know, they're hurting. And I said, now I've got the knee pain and the ankle pain. And I you know.
Right.
Went there for my knee, and they just said it was arthritis. But anyway, I've got, I think what's going on partially is that I just, nobody's listening to me, and I've got too many things going on at once. And
right.
So,
it overwhelms them. It overwhelms them. But
yeah.
Looking at the toe itself, again, you say, hey, you're saying this. I'm sorry. Pain is a symptom of something. I am a diabetic. My feet are important. What is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, I even told him about Gary, you know, I told him about Gary's brother, and, you know, because Gary's mm-hmm. brother had both of his feet amputated,
yeah.
And it all started with a sore on his foot.
Right.
And so, unfortunately, in some ways, maybe I shouldn't have told him that because he's just shocking. The problem is, if you are diagnosed and medicated for anxiety and depression...
Oh, then everything is anxiety and depression. I understand that.
Exactly.
Yeah, but...
Especially if you have more than one thing going on, then they just think you're a whiny old lady.
Right. Yeah, I really wish we had just stayed on the toe. Just the toe.
And they don't you know, well, the only reason I mentioned the leg and the knee was because I was afraid it was related to the toe.
Right, but
I'm not even talking about, I'm not back on solid food, unfortunately, but that's a whole
Oh, we'll get to that thing. In a moment. But
yeah,
now, okay,
but
anyway. So is there, and I know you can't see it, but is there any type of wound on the toe?
My friend looked at it and she said, "Well, I can't tell." She says, "There's a little red place."
Yeah, no, there's a little
bump on the side of my toe.
Yeah,
and it's a little red looking. But she said, "No, it doesn't." You know.
All right, nothing's open. No, you don't have any. All right, so there's really nothing that they can, you know, take a sample of and let's do some type of biopsy because you don't have any wound.
No, and it's whatever it is. It's kind of under the nail.
Really?
I can feel it
under
the
nail.
And also the whole tip of my nail, like, you know, I put my shoes and socks on.
At the very least, they should do an X-ray of this and possibly an MRI. Because if you're saying I feel something under my nail, that can be a number of things, from something totally benign to a tumor.
You know, the thing that really gets me about all this, and I'll try to be cool, I'm losing my fight.
Oh, Fran, we don't want that to happen, and I understand that so well. You get to a point, you say, "What's the use?" Absolutely,
yeah.
I know that. I know that.
I talk, and it seems like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be crying.
No, I get this. I
but
think...
it seems like nobody's listening.
They're not.
And, you know...
They're not.
The one, you know, the Social Security, and then this, and then,
right.
Then I've got a paratransit review coming up.
Right.
And our housing authority review is coming up.
Right.
And I'm just feeling so overwhelmed. I wish I could just die.
Believe me, I understand that. Yeah. I understand this in so many ways that I can't even elucidate. Trust me, I understand it. I think the most important thing to do is never look at the big picture. Never look at it all at once, because it's completely crippling when you do that. You stop cold when you see it all as one big picture. So it's important.
I can't even seem to deal with the little things.
I know.
And I'm usually able to claw my way out of depression with everything I've got.
Right.
I don't have it.
Right. And maybe right now is a time right now to take a step back from all of this and just use the "oh, screw it" mentality till you can regain some strength. Now, my advice for the next toe interaction is, rather than say I have pain, or rather than what say, you can tell them definitively, I have pain, I want an X-ray, I want an MRI, I want to know what's going on here. In other words, I think it comes down to you telling them what you need to be comfortable, because they're not thinking about it on their own and they're not listening to you.
Yeah, but it's the same with my, I won't go into the whole stomach thing, but, you know, they wouldn't even give me another referral. And I told them, I need a referral to a gastroenterologist. This is not going away. Oh, just do this soft diet and do these Align things and you'll be fine. Well, the first time I ate, and it was a chicken enchilada with a sour cream sauce. It wasn't even anything, you know. Spicy.
I remember that. That was for Gary's birthday.
Yeah, and I felt so bad. And that's another thing, you know, I just feel like Gary's getting short shrift here, because we didn't celebrate his birthday, and he's not complaining about it. But I can hardly walk, so I can hardly cook or do any of the things that I, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I feel like I'm falling down on everything.
No, he understands that, and don't add that to the burden right now. And I, you know, bless you for even thinking about it, because it's a very unselfish thought. But right now you're going to need to develop a little selfishness, because we need to get you back in action as far as that goes. So, yeah, I think one of the problems
this is, I want people to understand, this is not me.
I know. What it is, you know, I always say we're all living like it's the last straw. We're the camel, and here's the last straw. And it does feel like that. When everything comes together, it's crippling emotionally. And boy, I understand that.
I usually fall apart for a while, and then I start, you know, getting back to doing one little thing and then doing another.
Right.
I don't seem to be able to do anything. I've got phone calls I need to make. I've got stuff I need to do, and I just...
Well, then don't do it right now. I mean, nothing is going to happen if you don't. You wait a couple days. Don't force yourself to do what you're not capable of doing right now. Just give yourself a break. You know, if I were you, I would take a few days and say, these are Fran days, and Fran's only going to do what Fran wants to do, and the rest of the world be damned. Now, you can't do that forever, and I understand that, because when you're dealing with fighting with Social Security or Medicaid or housing, you got to deal with that at some point. But you don't have to deal with it tonight, and you don't have to deal with it tomorrow, and you probably don't have to deal with it through the weekend. So what I'm saying is, give yourself that break and say, it'll still be there when I'm back in action. And, you know, maybe...
I'm just worried about I'm still having a lot of pain.
Well, that's right. And you know, sadly, you can say, well, one thing I know, I'll still be in pain. So what I'm saying is rather than try to parse it, just figure out what you would like to do through the weekend that would just be Fran time and everything else be damned. You know,
okay.
if you do that, you'll be in better shape to pick back up the fight. And like I say, I'm sorry to say, you will be in pain. So why not just do what you want for a couple days? You know, as far as the eating, gastro problems are very interesting. We know that when we have exactly what we want, that is the e-ticket to hell at night. Oh, man. But there are times where you say to yourself, I am going to feel so bad and I don't give a damn. I am going to enjoy this now.
Yeah.
You know,
but it won't come out. But it's like... you know, and I love to eat. I tried to explain to my
oh, of course.
When I was first, you know, I said, I don't eat to live. I live to eat.
Well, of course, we're in
and
bodies.
Cheese is not what I live to eat.
Right, right. You know, we're having to wear these meat suits all the time. We're in bodies. We should at least get to eat what the hell we want to eat. It's a real mistake on the universe's part. What we like to eat should be what's good for us. Now, it doesn't work out that way, but it should be. So what I'm saying is, depending if you want to, if you know what's coming, you know what you're buying when you eat it, and you say, all right, I'm going to buy misery, but damn, for the next 2 hours, I'm going to love this. and then, okay, so when you feel miserable, you just say, yeah, I deserve this. Okay, it'll be better tomorrow, but I deserve this tonight. I feel like I'm going to die, and I'm afraid I'm not. So, yeah, I get those.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
I'm afraid to eat any... Actually, well, I've lost some weight because I'm afraid to eat
that's
anything.
Right, exactly. I understand.
I'm afraid it's going to cause the worst constipation and worse constipation.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. And sadly, there's no easy cure of getting your system back on track. And I love the things that they pass as, say, laxatives. You know, like there's one, I won't mention the name, but there's one very popular. I said to Justin, you do realize you're just consuming gasoline. I hope you understand this.
God.
Well, read the ingredients and you'll see what I mean. As far as that goes. But the reality is getting your system back on track is usually not going to be a drug, and it's usually not going to be a laxative. It is going to be, you know, a series of eating, and it takes over time. It will. But I relate. And the worst problem about any of the things that you're taking for pain is a side effect of them is you'll be constipated.
Yeah. So I don't even take, over-the-counter pain stuff.
Cause, right.
You know, we can do it, too.
Absolutely.
And
dehydration.
That's the thing that scares me because it makes me feel like I'm going to pass out.
Right. No, drink that water. You know,
yeah.
I know. Like I say, just have it in front of you. 10 big sips once an hour, you know, 10 seconds of drinking, and that's it.
I'm going to force myself to do it because it's hard to want to. Drink water when your bladder feels like it's going to pop.
Well, exactly. And then you go and you feel like you haven't gone. Oh, tell me about it.
What's going on,
20 minutes later, you got to go and guess, how did this happen? You know, and especially if you're asleep, you just fall asleep when you wake up and all of a sudden it's like, I've got to run to the bathroom, except there's no reason. Yeah, I understand all this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I don't mind. In fact, I would be very happy if I had a good reason.
But it doesn't work like that. It's the big fake out. You know, no, I know.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, getting old is a bitch, no doubt about it.
Yes,
so,
it is.
Yeah,
yes, it is.
Yeah, so, you know, you just put it in perspective as much as possible, but take enough time for you. Be selfish. All this other stuff is still going to be there. You know, believe me, it'll be waiting.
Oh, gosh.
I know.
My mother would turn over in her grave if she had one. Somebody actually telling me to be selfish, because one of her biggest... You're selfish! Whenever I didn't do what she wanted me to do,
Well, right, right. Well, and parents, it happens somewhere in pregnancy that they go to guilt school. They learn to guilt you in ways that you have never conceived. And, No. I don't believe in guilt. You can't guilt me.
Like, it's terrible to be selfish. It's terrible to think of yourself first.
You know? No. Well, actually, if you don't think of yourself first, you can't think about anybody else second. You're no good as a caregiver if you don't take care of yourself first. And this is something a lot of people need to realize if they are in a caregiver role. You must care for yourself because you're no good to anyone else. So, mother's not here to bitch at you. So you get to be very, very, very selfish. Think of all the things that you would like to do and forget about the pain as much as possible and do them.
Okay, Gary, you've been warned. I'm going to be selfish.
Yes, that's absolutely right. You're going to be holy terror and whatever you want. And by the way, even if what you want is just lying on the couch and vegging, it's okay because there's no wrongs in this. It's Fran time.
Okay.
So whatever you want. And you don't even have to explain it to somebody else because sometimes the things we want are a little embarrassing. I shouldn't admit I want that. Yeah, want it and have it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, the hell with it. Want it and have it.
She wants to do what?
Yeah, well, you don't have to share.
She wants to listen to what?
Well, that's right. And yeah, absolutely. You know, as far as that goes, I've had chemical depression since I was a child because of all the, you know, autoimmune metabolic crap, and it's just something you have. Well, I learned early on what it meant, and I could look at it that way. But there are times when I'll be, I'm chemically depressed. Okay, I need a pity party right now. I need to listen to every record that's going to make me cry. I'm going to think about everything that was ever horrible. I'm going to do that for 2 hours and then I'll be fine. And you do it.
I've done that.
That's absolutely right. Well, no, you just have to put it in perspective, you know, and realize that, okay, this is chemical, it will pass, and it does, but first you kind of give into it with that wonderful pity party. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. So,
I do that all the time, but usually it goes away, but, you know, in a week or so, if that.
But you've got a lot of other external things that are pushing it. You've not only got the chemical problems and the anxiety problems, which long-term do make changes in your brain and are difficult to deal with chemically, but on top of that, you've got these externals that you're embodying. You're letting them rule you. And so I understand this. Well, it's time to say the hell with that. You know, like I mentioned before, Bill Taylor, who owned the radio stations before me, is actually in some textbooks because he did 10 years of chemo over 200 rounds. And this guy drove himself to Mayo and drove home and did morning drive every morning and never missed a show. And everybody said that. How did he do it? Well, he did it because he developed, to clean it up, the screw it attitude. No matter what it was screw it. So when I got here to help him, I had 10 years of delayed maintenance. Yeah, I've mentioned this before.
Oh, I remember you talking about that.
Right.
Yes.
I looked out on the lawn. There's a Yagi. It's an antenna for people who don't know. And I said,
that's
Bill,
news.
Why is there a Yagi? And I think Adam says I have to break. So hang on. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right.
Oh.
On WGN Radio.
To play shoot 'em up,
shoot 'em up, bang bang, baby.
I remember when I chased the girls and beat 'em up. But I was young and didn't understand. But now I'm a grown up man. I know girls are made for kissing.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yes, The Intruders, 1968 on Gamble. Yeah, Gamble and Huff, of course, wrote it and produced it. Cowboys to Girls, The Intruders, Little Sonny, although I must admit, it sounded like a re-sing to me. I'm not sure. It didn't sound like Little Sonny, but yeah, that's the problem when everything isn't coming from 45s. It was supposed to, but then I took the easy way out and have regretted it ever since. Yeah, it's on the list, that infamous to-do list. Yeah, get rid of the CD cuts of it. Well, I'll be dead first. All right, so we're back to Fran. And, yeah, so you're going to have a fine weekend just being Fran.
I'm going to try. And I have a couple of requests.
Okay, and I'm going to fulfill them. Let me find something to write them down with. And this time I'm writing your name next to them. Okay, yeah, so that it won't be like... I'm pretty sure it was Donna who wanted Cowboys to Girls, but hey, if it wasn't, I'm sorry. All right, so got your name. What we're hearing?
Okay, got to be This or That.
What is that?
That is... what's his name? I can't think of his name right now. He's one of my...
why don't I have
mine
this?
Is a terrible thing. I guess I'll.
No, no. This is now going to drive.
If it ain't wrong, it's right. Da 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 da. It's got to be This or That. If it ain't Bean, it's Frank. Got to be This or That.
All right, I'll find it.
I think I can. I know the guy's Johnny Mercer.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, Johnny Mercer. Now
wow.
I thought of it, I feel better.
Wow. Okay. All right.
I love.
All right.
And the hunter gets captured by the game.
Yeah, more Marvelettes. Okay.
Yep. And all over the spectrum tonight, Phil Harris, Give Me Money.
Oh, wow, okay. Give Me Money. All right.
Give Me Money, 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 Money.
Yes, you betcha.
Yeah. And the last line, because I know you can't play the whole song, but my favorite line is the last line. And if they ever plant trees of E Pluribus Unum, I want to be the guy they send out to prune them.
Oh, that's great. That's great. All right. I gotta find out who wrote that, because I'm sure I've got that around here somewhere. That's great. Wonderful line.
All right. Yeah. All right. Stuff to make me laugh.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what you need. All right.
Yep.
All right. We'll do it. Good
okay,
deal.
Okay, thanks for
all
listening,
right.
Raleigh. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime. Good luck.
Okay.
It ain't easy, but it'll be worth it in the end, I promise.
Okay,
all
thanks.
Right, thanks. Okay,
bye.
So I know it doesn't seem like it now. That's right, it's like the last thing on earth. Oh, man. But yeah, when you're overwhelmed, man, doesn't that do it? I'll tell you what. All right, so we've got Jim in Richmond. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh.
Hey, Jim.
I was listening to Fran, and I was just stewing, because why aren't they looking into neuropathy in her toes?
Oh, I know. There's so many, of course, there's so many things, but I would assume, and that's foolish of me, that she's well aware of neuropathy and what it feels like, because it's very distinct, as you know.
Right.
And yeah, I know with me, it'll feel like somebody's just taking a needle and slamming it into my face, and then it's like I'm on the ceiling. Rah! And John's like, what's up? It's fine now. Yeah, so yeah.
But being diabetic, that's the first thing they should have looked
well,
at.
Well, yeah, of course. And maybe they did. I don't know. Well, next time I'll ask her about it. But yes, absolutely. But what I'm hoping she can do is in fact, get, like I say, an X-ray and MRI to just make sure there's nothing going on.
Right, that's what I was sitting there thinking, you know, they didn't totally go into it.
No.
They were just brushing it off.
That's all they've been doing for years with this is just blowing her off.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I actually got angry.
Yeah, no, I'm frustrated. It's anger from frustration, I understand, because you've been through it, too, on a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let you know my sister's okay.
Good. We're very glad about that.
They found just a third of a blockage, and they're going to treat it with medication.
Good.
And my goddaughter made it back to South Carolina, even though she had to drive through tremendous rainstorms to
uh-huh.
West Virginia. And she made it back. And... you know, and I'm dealing with what I'm dealing, and it's not getting any better. and I'm just, you know, frustrated. And in my situation here at home, my tent garage where I put everything in.
Yeah, you were saying that the top,
they tore the whole top off, and my brother's going to come out next week with his son and other people, and they're going to take the whole thing down. And I have to, you know, find a place to put what I put in there in storage because I didn't have a car. And here's the funny thing. My nephew gave me a 65-inch TV that's over 25 years old, and it weighs like 110 pounds. And I'm going to put it at the end of my driveway and leave it there and tell people it's a drive-in.
Yes, yeah. All right. There you are.
And that's what's going on. And I'm not dealing with things very well.
I know.
But I didn't want to bring that up.
No, believe me, I get that. But yeah, and you know where I am. I always harp on this every time we call.
Don't bring it up.
Well,
don't bring it up.
Until you do it, things will not get better. Let me just give you a prediction here. If you want things to be better, you have to do that first. And I'm sorry to be that blunt with you, but it's not going to get better until you do. And you're still resistant to this.
I've tried.
Well, you're going to...
It's not working out.
Well, you're going to have to get some help because until you do this, nothing will get better.
Right.
Okay. As long as you know that.
I'm here tonight to say thank you to Fran.
Okay.
Thank you to Tubby because she's praying for me.
All right. Well, very good.
Thank you to several other people that are trying to help me.
All right, but everybody's in agreement. So I'm looking forward to the call where you say, hey, I've got somebody to help me and I'm on my way. Until then, and what we're talking about for people who don't know is being very proficient in voiceover on his phone. So until that happens, it's not going to get better. Just trust me on that. All right.
Right.
Okay, Jim.
And please don't push me off.
I'm not, but what I'm going to say is it's not a question of pushing you off. I don't have any real sympathy anymore for what's going on until you make this your only priority.
Right.
So it's not about pushing you off. It's about trying to push you toward independence, because if you don't do this, the end result is going to be frightful.
And could you play a song tonight for Fran?
Well, yes, you made some requests and I'm going to play them.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right, so, I didn't find Money the Phil Harris. I found it on Fraggle Rock by the Muppets, but I'll keep looking because, just because it ain't on my computer doesn't mean it doesn't exist. So, all right, 888-876-5593. Laura's in Des Plaines. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, well, I called about one thing, but I just want to say something about Fran. I'm going to tell you, she amazes me the way that she, I don't know the whole situation, but left her first husband or, you know, split with him because she wanted independence. She wanted to do things on her own. And Fran, I cannot tell you how many times I prayed to God that I would not wake up in the morning after I got different diagnoses from the doctors.
Right. Yeah.
But today I feel differently because somebody asked me for help and I was literally the only person who could help this person.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense?
Absolutely. You are making sense, and what you're saying punctuates.
I still have a reason to be here.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah.
And you know, we all do. When we don't, that's when we get to leave. But we're not dismissed from Earth until whatever it is we're here to do is done. The sad part is we usually don't know what that is. So we just have to keep on keeping on, and it'll you know, show itself.
I know. I keep raising my hand, asking for a hall pass. Get me out of here.
Right, right. But you're not going until the time is right. And I think for people who do find a way around that, they probably wind up right back here doing it again.
You are correct about that. So, anyway, I think she's a neat person, and she's always giggly and fun, and I look forward to her calls.
Oh, me too, and I so understand what it's like to be overwhelmed. Like I say, it's that last straw. You're just like, I can't take anymore. I understand that so well, and that's why I hope that she'll find Fran time to just be absolutely selfish.
And you know what, Riley? I don't apologize anymore. If I want to lay in bed and watch Gunsmoke reruns all day, that's what I do.
And why shouldn't you?
I don't.
Who would there be to apologize to?
Well, you know, like, oh, did you go to the gym? Did you walk? Did you do
who
this?
Cares?
Did you
who cares?
Right?
Yeah, who cares?
No.
You know,
no, I didn't.
Right. And that's fine. Obviously, you do the things you have to do to stay alive, whatever that list is, you know, if it's taking your blood pressure medicine or whatever. But other than that, you know, hey, all right, tomorrow's another day. There's plenty of time to do it, whatever it is.
Yes.
Yeah, you betcha.
Well, the reason I called.
Yeah.
My beautiful niece, goddaughter, is going to have a baby in a few hours. And I don't know about these new names that people are naming their babies.
All right, does she
like classic.
Does she know if it's a girl or a boy yet?
A girl.
Okay, girl. So what's her short list? What we have?
Well, the first baby, I don't know if she wants me to say it out loud, but she lives 100 miles away. Her first baby's name is Meadow.
Okay. All right. And what are we looking at now?
I don't know. I said, are you going to go with like Willow or Lily or something? She said, no, I think I'm done with the nature names.
Well, so what's next?
I don't know. I like a good classic name.
You know, I've often thought that name should not be official until someone turns 18, and then it should be official, because far too many people have names that just don't fit them, you know, in any direction. You know, if you're 450 pounds and your name is Christy, might not work, you know. So so I think that that name should be temporary until the individual is old enough to know what they've got. But
a good nickname is good, too. Yeah.
I'll never forget it. I had a friend in high school. I was over at his house, and his mother was the head of OBGYN at a hospital. And she came home, and she was just shaking her head. And she had to talk a woman out of naming her child Syphilis. She read the chart and saw that, and that's a beautiful name. Mm-hmm.
No.
So, yes, Syphilis. And so, and this is, you know, 60 years ago, whatever, more than that. It's not going to get worse than that. Although I did go to school. This is a true story. Girl was absolutely alive, Latrina. And I always thought that was a terrible name. But
it was probably a joke on the doctor's part.
No, I have no idea, but we called her Trina. But even so, her name, like when the substitute teacher would be there citing the names as they were given, Latrina, I'm like, this is not good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but so, I mean, Meadow suddenly puts this into perspective, doesn't sound bad at all.
That's true. We have a disproportionate amount of Rons in my family. Ronald, Ronnie,
okay.
Ron.
All right.
Like, I don't know, my parents are from the Ashland-Washburn area up north.
Uh-huh.
And, like, half the population is Ron. My name was almost Veronica.
Well, and this baby could be a Rana. I mean, if she wanted to go with Ron, but...
Her husband's name is Ron.
Oh, well, then, okay, there's probably not going to be Rana, then. All right. Well, although I had another very good friend in high school, Ray, and his had one daughter, and she was Rhea. But, okay, yeah. I'll be curious to know after Meadow what's next. It could be worse. I mean, who was it who named her kid Apple? And, of course, there was Frank Zappa named his child Moon Unit.
Well, and for the record, I'm not saying I don't like the name Meadow. I'm just saying it would never would have crossed my mind.
Right. You want something traditional. Names tend to go in cycles, as you well know. And, you know, if you were born in the 40s, you know, there were 9,000 Carols and 9,000 Debbies. It's probably true for the 50s as well. But,
sure, and we didn't have any unusual names in my class. Everybody had.
Really? Nothing at all? Oh, we had some real doozies. But obviously.
No, it's all Laura, Chris, Lisa, Sandy, Karen. Yeah, all
and, you
those
know,
names. Yeah.
It's funny because when you're a kid, you know, you go to the senior citizen home for one reason or another, and there's all the people who are named things like Sophie. And now that's come back in. So, you know, they're cyclical in terms of that. But
they are.
Assuming the child is healthy and the name isn't too completely off the wall, I'm sure it'll be fine.
Well, if she had any courtesy, she would have been born last week on my birthday. But
well, you see, there you are.
She's already started. Yeah.
Yeah. There you are. And the other thing I would say, whatever this child is named, that is what she should be called by. It is terrible when you name the kid something, but then only call them by their middle name for whatever reason, family fights or whatever. No, whatever you're going to call them, that's the name.
Yeah. Oh, I'll put on a smile. I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll be curious. You got to call me back and let me know what she decided.
I sure will. And one more thing, by the way, to your other caller last week or so, Francis is a very dignified name for a man.
Oh, absolutely. And for a woman, either way.
Either way. But he called and he said he was ashamed of the name.
No.
Francis.
Well, you know, depending on when you grew up, if other kids are making fun of you, you know, as far as like that, you know, I mean, hell, if you're named, if
you're
named,
sound like you're royalty.
Right. Well, exactly. If you're named Raleigh, everybody's going to ask if you give coupons. So today, no one would know what that meant. But, you know, so, yeah. All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we'll have Stacy in Algonquin and Mark in Aurora and you too, hopefully, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Marvelettes for Fran. Yeah, 1966, Tamla, the hunter gets captured by the games. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Mark is in Aurora. Mark, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts for Jim. First, a method, and then words of correction, and then words of inspiration. So first, the method. When you engage Siri, now I assume, Jim, that you have an iPhone.
Yes.
When you engage Siri, you have to press the button on the right of your iPhone, and you have to say Siri on. And then once Siri is on, when you dial a phone number, you have to double tap each number. And you have to double tap them fairly fast, or otherwise it'll interpret that you're going on to another number.
Now, wait a minute. I'm lost here because, and by the way, I do think that Jim is okay with Siri, but let me ask you something. If you can't see it, how are you double tapping anything?
Let me explain. That's the reason that you are double tapping, is that you can't see it, and therefore you might tap the wrong number.
Yeah, but how do you know what I'm saying?
Hold on. Because you're only tapping it once, you haven't engaged it. It takes a double tap to engage it. And once you know that you've hit the right number, then you can double tap.
No, I'll tell you what, makes no sense to me, Jim. Mark, this is what I need help on. If I can't see the phone, how do I know I have any number?
Because audibly it will tell you 5 or 8 or whatever.
Okay, and so what we're saying is when we say Siri and we want to dial a number, it says 5 and then we quickly double tap?
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll say 5 on your first tap and then you quickly tap it a second time.
Now, how does it say 5 on the first tap? How do you know a 5?
It just says 5.
But it'll
give you the touch tone on your second tap.
No, I'm still lost. See, and I think this is why Jim is having.
If the first tap is not the right number, then you abandon that and go to another number.
Back up. I can't see. I've just picked up my iPhone. What do I do? Tell me step by step. I can't see. I picked up my iPhone. I'm now holding the iPhone in my hand.
No, I heard you. Let's say that your phone number begins with a 5. You tap.
No, you see, again. I'm ruling this, Mark. No, you're not getting to finish because I am going to ask you again. So listen closely. I cannot see, and I have just picked up my iPhone. That's where we're starting. So I'm holding it in my hand. Now, what do I do step by step? I'm holding the phone step by step. Yeah. What do I do first?
Well, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, but you're not.
You tap it anywhere on the screen.
Okay, I'm holding the phone.
Probably the lower part of the screen.
Well, we don't know what I see, but we're saying, because I'm seeing nothing. I'm holding the phone, and I tap the screen.
Yeah.
Now what do I do? I've tapped the screen.
Well, if the screen tells you that you've hit a number, you determine if it's the right number. If it is the right number.
See, Mark, honey, here's the problem. The screen's not going to tell me anything. Firstly, you haven't even told me how to turn on the damn phone. I'm starting from the very beginning, and you're not. And so what I'm saying, I'm holding this phone. Now, let's say I found out on the side I can, you know, hold down the button on the top right on the side and turn on the phone. Now the phone is on. All right, what do I do now? Because the phone's on. There's no, we're assuming that there's no password on this particular phone. What do I do?
Well, this is what I've been trying to tell you. You tap it. The keypad is going to be on the lower part of the screen.
What
so you
keypad?
Tap
no, no.
On the lower part.
You're missing the whole point. When I turn on that phone, I don't see a keypad. Or there is no keypad.
No, but it's there.
You want to bet?
Yeah, if it's there and you tap it, it'll tell you a number.
And if it's not there?
Then you have to use your password to get into the phone.
Well, let's start with that. How am I going to use my password? By the way, what if I don't have a password and it just shows up on the home screen?
Well, then you have to create one. And it will give you a dial pad. And you have to punch the password
and
it will take that password.
All right.
But you have to do it with double taps.
All right, hang on a minute. Don't go away. John has an iPhone. I'm going to go get it here. Don't go away. Because again, what Mark is doing is telling me as if I know what I'm doing, and I don't. All right, so we're going to put him on hold, and during the next commercial break, I will go get a phone. All right. In the meantime, we will talk to Stacy from Algonquin. Welcome to WGN Radio, Stacy. How are you?
Hi, Raleigh. No, I'm fine. I'm hanging in there. I just wanted to say to Jim and Fran, believe me, I know your problems, and that Stacy is sending you all of my special, special blessings. Everything is going to be all right. Believe me. I'm doing the same thing. You can't do 5 things at once, just one thing at a time. And everything will be fabulous and wonderful, and you've got all of my blessings.
Well, thank you for that, Stacy. Much appreciated.
And, you know, to everybody, and how are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. You know, I'm doing better than Jim is right now, and probably a little better than Fran is, but Fran's going to be fine, I know. Jim, the verdict is out. He's got to learn this.
My feet, too. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, I have to make doctor's appointments myself right now, and you get nervous and everything because I'm a diabetic, but I'm getting, you know, I'm watching everything, and I'm getting good numbers. You know, I have my sheet before breakfast, before lunch, before dinner. And then if my number is good, I don't have to take any insulin, the FlexPen insulin. But I have my chart and everything, and it'll tell me if I need 2 units or whatever. So, I mean, I'm keeping all of my sheets in front of me and everything.
All right. Well, good. Sounds like things are on the right track. I'm so pleased.
So, and my birthday and everything was great, and you know, we have parties here, so, and my anniversary, but I just wanted to call in. Can you give me 2 songs, like, for Scotty? Can you pick out the songs?
Yeah, it'll be tomorrow night, but I'll pick out 2 Scotty songs from you, Stacy. And yeah, I'm so pleased you're doing well, because, you know, man, it's been a long haul for you, and a few years ago, it didn't look like it would turn out this good, so you're living proof that life turns on a dime, and all is well.
I know, and I'm sometimes, you know, when you told Fran, well, eat something. So, I mean, sometimes I do that too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you just watch the next day.
Right, absolutely. And if there's going to be pain in the meantime, well, you brought it on yourself, so suffer. All right, then it gets better.
Right.
Yeah.
And you and John and everybody, be well. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Have a fabulous weekend.
You too.
And I will talk to you soon.
All right, good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye, Riley.
All right, so now I have an iPhone in my hand. So we're going back to Mark here. All right, Mark, I've got an iPhone in my hand as we speak. What do you want me to do to it?
Well, I just thought of how to go about this. And what I'll do is I'll tell you what I do when I turn my phone on.
All right, so we're going to walk me through this. I've got an iPhone. By the way,
yeah.
I tapped on the screen. It's not going to say anything.
No.
It doesn't. And nothing happens.
Now I have an iPhone 15, and I don't know what model Jim has. So I don't know if all this is going to apply. But I press the right-hand button, and my phone will soon vibrate and ding at the same time.
Mine doesn't. You see, what I'm saying, where I'm going with this is I think there are some things already set up on your phone. For instance, on the phone I'm holding, Siri's not set up on this. So, consequently...
Yeah, you need to set up Siri.
Well, that's where Jim needs someone to help him to set up everything.
Yeah.
And that's my point. You know, like you're saying, well, you just do this and you do that. No, it's not going to happen. And so I believe he now has Siri set up, but nothing else. So, for instance, when I do what you just said, I press that button. Ain't no dinging. Ain't no vibrating. I try to tap the screen. Ain't no nothing.
That's why I specified that mine is an iPhone 15.
Well, regardless.
Before I had a 15. Before I had a 15, my phone didn't vibrate or ding either when I turned it on.
So we'll assume
that's a new thing.
Right. We'll assume he doesn't have a 15.
Okay.
All right. So I've turned it on. He doesn't have a 15. But here's the point. Nothing I do tapping that screen is going to show anything. It's just going to keep. It's not ever going to give me anything. Nothing. Oh, I just opened my eyes. It told me it's 61 degrees in Miami, Arizona. All right.
you can press. What you then would do is press the right-hand button and ask for anything you want to. I always start by asking for WGN.
Well, now, again, you're saying something is set up on your phone, because when I press this and ask for WGN, the phone is a brick. It doesn't do anything.
Okay, then you've got to set up Siri.
Well, that's probably true.
You can try pressing that right-hand button and saying Siri on.
All right. Holding the right button while I say it?
Yeah.
Siri on.
Siri on.
Nothing. It says slide to power off.
Well, that's weird.
Yeah, it says slide to power off. All right. So all I'm saying is before Jim gets anywhere, any of your instructions are not going to help him. He needs somebody sighted to set up his phone. Now, in addition to setting up Siri, which may or may not be set up, what else does he have to set up?
Well, he's going to have a password to get into his
phone. Okay, so now, and someone will help him get a password. Now, what about, he says he's got Siri. He also says he's got VoiceOver, but he cannot use it. So what's the problem?
One problem is what I mentioned before. You have to when you're in VoiceOver, you have to double tap everything.
Okay. So if you are in VoiceOver, all right, you've enabled VoiceOver, you've enabled Siri. Okay. And so now
on the first tap it will give you a number in audio. Mine gives it to me in a British voice.
It can be anything you choose. I understand that. Why will it give you a number again if you're at the home screen, which basically just says home? Why will it give you anything? You see, I think there's a step
that's where
here.
That's where I press the right hand button and ask for WGN. It will then give me the keypad in which I can use the password.
All right. So, and this is where, again, he needs somebody sighted to be able to go over how to do this exactly.
Yeah, and on the first of the double taps, it vocally gives you the number. On the second of the double taps, it gives you the keypad tone.
Okay.
And then you just do that for all the numbers of the password.
Yeah, I see that, but he needs help. Bottom line, he really can't do this without somebody. All right.
Yeah, and I still get friends to help me with things. I haven't learned to use my phone to scan websites, and so I do call friends and have them look things up for me. But I have learned to read my email, and all I can say, Jim, is that 5 years ago, I still had partial vision, and I was still using my eyes to read my phone screen. I can no longer do that. And my wish for you would be that the tendency to give up would not reduce you to being almost an infant who looks to everyone as parents. And that's how you're starting to sound. And I don't want to be harsh with you, but you know, I was forced to take some initiative recently by my choir director, of all people. She said, you know, Mark, I've observed on our videotapes that you're not singing, and I'm wondering if you can keep up with the music, because we learn it awfully fast. You've talked about solo work. I'll let you do that. You can still sing, but I don't know if it's going to work to have you in the choir. So guess what I did? I had a digital recorder with me in the rehearsal, and I recorded the number we were going to do that Sunday, and I listened to it 15 times. And by next Wednesday, Carolyn was saying, hey, I heard your low bass voice singing out there. Congratulations.
Okay.
And it took her jabbing me a little bit and saying, hey, maybe it won't work to have you in the choir, for me to say, what am I going to do to make this work? And it turned out that, you know, when I listen to songs on the radio, they soak in real fast. But when I try to memorize something, it'll take me 15 or more times, like it did with that choir number. But I did do it, and I'm still in the choir.
And that's great. No, congratulations
on
that.
And I just had to take the next step in the learning curve, and I think that if I instead acted in church like everybody has to do everything for me, I think people would have me around grudgingly, and I don't ever want things to get to that point.
Right, or would find a way not to have you around, of course. So
yeah, and Jim, I don't mean to be harsh with you, but that is what will happen to you if you don't find ways to do as much for yourself as you possibly can.
Well, it's already happening.
And
it's already happening. When his friend can't.
Well, Well, that's what his crying sounds like to me. It sounds like he's becoming an infant. And, Jim, I knew a guy years ago. I mean, his name doesn't matter, but this was in, we were at a restaurant one night in Glen Ellen, and I my heart sank, and I almost got sick to my stomach because it became clear to me that this man in his 40s was having his mother do everything for him. And the result was that his growth was stunted. He wasn't really a man.
No, got all that. Got all that. All right.
It was such a pathetic sight.
No, got all that. I here's the deal with what I can tell from Jim is at this point, he can't go much further alone. He just can't. And that's true. And so I absolutely give him a pass on that. Where I don't give him a pass is his only purpose in life right now should be finding the person who can help him do this.
Yeah.
Anything else doesn't matter. And so I agree he's never going to do this alone. And so I agree with Jim wholeheartedly. Where Jim and I are differing at this point is I don't care about anything he tells me about other than what did he do to find this person to get on with it. Because until he does, you know, like his friend who no longer wants to do the groceries or whatever it is, one by one, everyone will drop out of his life.
Yeah.
And so
again, as a totally blind person, I have this observation. Jim, you're an intelligent guy, and right now you're using that intelligence to articulate why you can't do things. If you would instead use that intelligence to find methods for doing them and to find friends to help you do them, you would be a lot happier.
I agree. All right, Mark, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I hope I didn't hurt you, Jim.
No, and hopefully, and I'm sure Jim does. I believe he does realize that all of this is coming from love. Nobody would have anything to say if they were trying to hurt Jim. It's just that one way or another, he needs to embrace the fact that nothing else matters until he masters this. And, you know, he doesn't want to hear me say it anymore. Well, I don't want to hear anything he's doing until he does this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, at some point, the crying has to stop and the doing has to start.
Exactly. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
And if his depression is too deep, then he might need a therapist.
Well, and that's a whole other thing, and I understand that as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're not there.
All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, so it's tough love, but I want to see Jim thrive and be independent. And really, nothing else matters to me. I don't want to hear who helped him. I don't want to hear what's going on. I just want to hear what he did to get in touch with someone anywhere, you know, whether it's through one of the organizations or what have you, that will be able to help set this up so that he can further learn it on his own. It's gotten to that point. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. That's where we'll pick it up. We've got Gary, Laura, Debbie, and Karen. See, for an hour and a half, I'm talking to myself. Now you're all here. Where were you before? All right, we'll get to as many of you as we can, and we'll remind you that there is another show tomorrow night, starting at 10 Central on WGN Radio.
I met old Zeke standing on the corner the other day. That cat sure was booted with liquid.
He was what?
He was obnoxicated.
He was what?
He was inebriated.
He was what?
Well, he was just plain drunk.
Well, all right then.
He sure was salty with the bartender. The bartender's trying to make him buy another drink. Zeke told the bartender, ain't no need of me buying no drinks when everybody else is buying them. I'm gonna drink to everybody's health till I ruin my own.
Open the door, Richard!
Why, he don't know who he's throwing out of that joint. Why, I'll go back in that joint and take a short stick and bust it down to the ground.
Open the door, Richard!
But I hate to be caught out on the street like this, cause it makes you look so common. And I know I ain't common, cause I got class I ain't never used yet. But I guess I better get on in the house, cause I don't want my pastor to catch me out like this.
Hey, Richard, open the door!
Now look at that old woman across the street. Done stuck her head out of the window, calling her sister. Look at her hunching her sister, saying, ain't that him? Ain't that him? Yes, it's me, and I'm drunk again.
Open it down, Richard.
I know he's in there because I got on the clothes. They can't throw him out because I owe just as much
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course, that's Louis Jordan. Just the best. 1947 on Decca. Dave on the north side wanted to hear, open the door, Richard. My favorite word in that entire song is obnoxicated. Yes, indeed. Oh, that's so many people. They don't even need to be drinking to be obnoxicated. I'll tell you what. Gary is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah. I've noticed a few obnoxicated people, come to think of it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's classic. Louis Jordan deserves a star in heaven just for that line alone.
I just love hearing him, his stuff, and you know, when you were playing him last night.
Yeah.
But I'll try to clear up some of this iPhone and Siri confusion.
Okay.
Siri is what you use to do something on the phone. Anybody, you can use Siri, you know, what's the temperature, whatever.
Right.
And you can open apps and stuff with Siri.
Right.
And what VoiceOver allows you to do is interact with those apps with gestures and such as that. So when you buy your phone and you take it out of the box, you may have to activate Siri. And I
right.
bought my phone so many years ago, I don't remember how to do that. But
you know, I do know how to do it, but it helps to see the damn thing. But usually in today's phones, they are activated. Because, for instance, I want none of this. I don't do Siri. I don't do cloud. I don't do nothing. So
right.
I have to go through everything to turn everything off. But you easily, especially if someone sighted sets it up, setting up Siri is easy. But again, you're absolutely right. Siri is going to be good as far as the phone is concerned. And yes, you can get basic information, internet type information. But when you're talking about wanting to use VoiceOver for things that are not phone based, Siri can't do that.
No. So you can tell Siri to turn VoiceOver on.
Right.
And so then when you do that, then you can interact with the phone. You can go into the phone app, and you'll see the various things on the phone app, like your contacts and keypad. And when you go to the keypad setting, it will say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and where the buttons are. So then you can press it. And then there's various typing settings you can do. But anyway, so then you press it, and you can then dial that way.
Right.
But that's how you dial with VoiceOver. If you want to use Siri, you can just say, it's, you know, Siri, call Raleigh James.
Right, if you've got Raleigh James on your phone, right.
Right, if you have it, you know, or call 888, you know, 765-5593.
And it'll do it, of course, yeah.
And it'll do it, but... So if I'm doing it with VoiceOver, I can dial it in. I have, you know, I have any contacts. I just go to my contacts and call it from there. But so there are a couple steps you got to make voice, you know, to be able to call with VoiceOver. But so hopefully that'll clear some of that up.
Yeah, and you know, again, there's so much involved for somebody who's not really savvy to this. It takes a sighted person to set everything up, to explain how it's used, to be able to use it. So I don't in any way fault Jim for saying I can't do it myself. He's absolutely right. Where my issue is nothing should matter except finding that person.
Yeah, I wish he were in a more urban area where it'd be easier to find.
Right.
Because when I got my first, well, we got our first iPhones in 2014, and we knew somebody who had one, and he kind of showed us some of the gestures, and we were on some phone voicemail systems that had various groups, and one of them was an iPhone group, and so we joined that, and so we could put questions out, how do you do this and that, and there are a couple people that were very knowledgeable and helpful. And you know, we're able to learn that way. And there are all sorts of ways to learn once you can get going. It's just, you know, hopefully he can find somebody to help him get familiar with what he needs to do on the phone. And, you know, then from there he can then do it himself.
Right. Well, that's it. But it's first going to take finding that person. And,
yeah, that's the hard part.
It is the hard part. But I think that if it were me, I would not be sleeping or eating. All I'd be doing is trying to find this person.
Yeah, no.
And then also from there, get other accessibility situations. I mean, the idea that you would have to depend on someone to go grocery shopping, this is unacceptable, period. You've got to find a way to be able to do all of this. And, you know, unfortunately, in Jim's case, his sight is not going to get much better, if better at all. So it is essential for his happiness that he finds a way to be independent.
And I've always lived in cities, so I could walk to the store and I could get assistance at the store. And I did that for decades. And, you know, with Instacart, various other delivery apps, I can order food or whatever I need.
That's a consideration too for an individual, for instance, who's blind or maybe immobile. Same kind of thing. You're much better off when you're in a dense area where you know, it's possible to get services easily and close. And that's something to kind of make a decision in your mind: am I moving? And I understand that. You know, at some point that conversation might be had, but before he gets there, he needs to be familiar with everything.
And I know that if I were living in a rural area and was losing my sight, that's the first thing I might want to do is try to find a more, maybe not a huge city, but a more urban area where I can get certain services I need.
A neighborhood, yes. Right.
You know, like a town with a couple hundred thousand people, maybe, or something like that.
Well, you figure out what you need, and then work it to where it is, including in some cases transit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's one thing you're going to need is transit.
Well, that's right. And you know, some, like you're in Austin, and for better or worse, you got Capital Metro. So you know, which can make a big difference. So yeah, those are the kind of lifestyle choices you ultimately have to make. And I think Jim's going to get to the point where he has to make those decisions too. But before he can get anywhere, he needs to find a way to be visually independent. And the only way I know how to do that is with things like VoiceOver and others.
Once he starts learning that, there's so many things that he can do with his phone, you know, that will help him with accessibility.
Right. The idea that a magnifier will help. No, he's going to get to the point that no magnifier will help. And so that should be off the table for what you're trying to do.
I mean, there are apps on the phone that will, you know, describe things. There's all sorts of stuff.
Right. And there are, like, TapTapSee. There's a lot of apps you can get from the App Store that absolutely, something with that, you take a picture of an object, and in a few seconds, it'll tell you what the object appears to be.
Yeah, there's Seeing AI, which is a good one that has all sorts of stuff, barcode readers and stuff on it. So, you know, I just wish that he could find it within himself to find somebody to help him.
Right. And to get to the point where he realizes that he must, that it's not an option.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry that some of his friends and other people he's dependent on are starting to abandon him. But in a way, it's better if they all abandoned him and he had no choice. It's sort of like when you're learning a language. Yeah. If you're thrown into a country that no longer speaks English, you're going to learn the other language. It may take a while, but you'll learn
it. Exactly. Right.
So
that's true.
It's just so important, because when I talk to Jim, I know he's so unhappy with his lot in life, and I get that. But here's the thing that will give him freedom.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't embrace it, well, then he'll never have freedom. It's that simple.
Yeah. Well, I think he's hoping for a miracle, I guess.
I don't know. But anyway, that's the only thing I can contribute now to his happiness is to just stay on him, that this is what he must do. And we'll see.
But thought I'd put that out there.
I'm so glad you did.
Straighten that out a little bit.
Yeah, right. So. Exactly. And again, for I appreciate all Mark's suggestions, but like I say, from the start, most of them were not a position where that was going to matter. You know, he wasn't.
Yeah,
there
were a few steps he'd already done.
Yeah. That
exactly. You know, maybe somebody did them for him
right.
or whatever. But
right. Exactly.
You know, if he's already passed, you know.
Yes.
Even didn't. He was too far gone. He's, you know.
Yeah.
jumped ahead on the highway.
Exactly. So. All right. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate
it. Thanks.
Okay. So 888-876-5593. All right. Laura from Willowbrook, the cabaret. Tell me all. Laura. Are you there?
Hello. Are you there?
Yes, I am here. You are there. Tell me about the cabaret.
Yes. I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. It was outstanding. I'll make this quick, but they just announced the act. They don't say who it is. So I introduced myself. I introduced my partner, and I says, yeah, and I saw The Sound of Music years ago when it first came out in 67. I says, and yeah, I've played a nun 5 times. Everybody laughed.
Yeah.
And I was hoping to get a reaction, but I didn't realize. And then I said, and you know, one time someone asked me if I'm typecast, and they were rolling on the floor, Raleigh.
Good.
I mean, even besides our singing, it went well, but I didn't realize, like, I was hoping to get a little laugh, but I'm like, I really didn't realize it was that funny.
Good.
So, yeah, it went well, and as you said, I said, I was wondering, like, is anybody going to show up that can't sing?
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't know all these shows that they did, but the first person that gets up there, there's a piano player, and this lady goes, and she sings, like, 3 lines, or 3 notes, and then she's like, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to sing. Then she walks up to the piano player, then she gets up again, she sings a few more notes, and then she's like, oh, wait a minute, is that the right words? So I'm thinking, is this part of the show? Or
yeah, right.
Or is she really goofing off? And then a couple other people later on, they did, I think maybe some of them are actually part of the act, but it was, oh my gosh, it was funny. And I think, honestly, there was one or two people that like, oh, I don't think they were faking it. I don't think they could really sing. But, I mean, at least it wasn't where you had to put cotton in your ears. But
oh, geez.
It was outstanding, Raleigh. It was a lot of fun.
Good. And a big crowd.
Yeah, I was surprised. And they actually, I thought it was going to be theater style. They did it actually as a nightclub. They took the seats out and put tables and chairs.
Oh.
And they had candles on the table. So it was actually kind of a fine evening, as they say.
That's great. Going to do it again next year?
Yeah. And if you want, can I tell you something about the person that's trying to get some help for the phone?
Sure.
Okay. But I think that's it about the cabaret thing. But, yeah, they said, oh, we do this every year. Like, okay, well, count me in.
All right. Good deal.
All right. I unfortunately haven't heard of all the things that Jim has mentioned or everybody else, but is by chance, is there a library nearby or a Best Buy? And I'll tell you why if you answer that.
Well, I know he's got a connection to Best Buy, and of course they have their geniuses or whatever. I'm aware of that. But this requires a little more specialized knowledge than you're going to get at the library.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Because when I go to Best Buy, I just hand them my phone and I don't even look at it. They just do everything I need.
Right, but
so
no.
They couldn't even do that either.
Well, it's not just do everything you need. Then somebody has to sit with Jim and explain exactly how to use it in the various situations. And in terms of accessibility, it's not their strong suit.
Oh, okay.
See, what you're bringing in is what the average person comes in with the phone, and they just, you know, fix it, and they hear your phone, and that's it. But he really needs, it's almost like a mentoring thing. He needs somebody who's very familiar with all of this and can take the time to not only set up his phone, but then work with him so that Jim is comfortable from the start. It's not going to be everything from there. He's going to have to, you know, learn on his own. But until he makes that connection, it's just an exercise in frustration.
Oh, sure. Well, to Jim, this is Laura. I says, get out there. I says, you can do this.
Yeah,
and I said, And when you do it, you're going to be so happy. It's going to be wonderful.
You're right about that. Once it's accomplished, it'll be opening life in a way he's never seen it. But yes, trying to find that person, it's going to be call after call, disappointment after disappointment, but eventually he's going to make that connection.
Yes, he will.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Raleigh. Good night.
All right, yeah, because you vow that you're just not giving up. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. So what do we have with Debbie in Raleigh? How's it going, Debbie?
Hey, well, boy, what a round of discussion here. The AT&T helpline is 877-204-3930, and they are there, as far as I know, 24/7. And it's designed for people who cannot see.
Yeah, accessibility.
Maybe,
right. And if nothing else, maybe they can help him connect with somebody, because he won't be able to do it on the phone with somebody. That's obvious. But hopefully...
Well, they do like a screen share thing. I don't know
called. No, I understand all that. But I'm telling you, based on everything I know about Jim, he's going to have a one-on-one with somebody.
I understand that, but you could turn VoiceOver on by pushing the home button 4 times also.
And I think he's got VoiceOver on as far as that goes, but maybe not.
Okay.
But again, using it properly and having it become your second set of eyes, that's a different story.
Yeah, I understand. But, hey, never give up on anything you try.
Agreed.
Because the minute you give up, you're dead in the water, so to speak.
Yeah, and
I've got a lot going on. I promise you, I just had a tax shortage of $2,400. I'm like, where the heck is it going to come from?
What? The IRS notified you? You owe them $2,400?
No, the escrow shortage. Property tax.
Property.
So I'm just saying, hey, we've all got something going on.
Oh, it's never ending. Now, in North Carolina, do they have exemptions for blind? Do you get some credit for that?
I can't qualify for some of that because of my income.
I'm too rich. All right. Well, no. See, sadly, some states it's not income dependent. There are certain deductions they can't. But if North Carolina is income dependent, yeah, I get that. Believe me.
I'm looking into everything.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. I'll just bet you are.
Yeah, that's my job. Seeking you shall find person.
When it's all over, you'll know more about it than anybody else. So
I know. Well, I hope that helps him or somebody. And
thank you for calling.
He'll keep his chin up. My God, there are worse things in life. And I know it's easy for me to say, since I've been blind from birth, but
right.
I promise you.
Right.
If he can go out there and sell stuff, he can certainly learn this.
I agree. He just needs the right person, and let's pray for that connection to be made. Thank you, Debbie. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
All right. So I have a feeling that might be adios. Now, again, I talked to myself for an hour and a half tonight. So, and now full lines. Everybody's waiting, and I'm going away. So tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, we do it again. So how about if we meet up at 10 o'clock and we will talk to everybody who's waiting now. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, those few hearty souls who called, I appreciate it. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.